Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
You said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know, we can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
And go indeed. Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video per usual on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page, as we've got ourselves a fun show for you here today on FSA. We'll catch up with the brand new head football coach. That's right, brand new head football coach. I knew he just couldn't stay away from the game. Clayton Randall, he'll be joining us here in the next 10 to 15 minutes on the program. Looking forward to a really fun discussion with him, friend of the program, and we'll hit on some of the SDGA Junior Tour results from yesterday. That's also in the mix here today. That'll be at Lee Park. And the Minnesota Twins are really, really having a tough go about it right now, and more details about that and much more. But first and foremost, I jettison things over to my compatriot, Matt McClure. Happy Tuesday, sir. How are you?
Doing good. How about yourself today?
I'm just living the dream. Living the dream. I've got no complaints. I'm a little tired. Woke up a bunch last night, but you know what? I've got my coffee, got air in my lungs, I've got a microphone in front of my face, and I've got you in front of me. It's a good day.
That is a good day. Sounds like a good day if you're talking to me, right?
100%. Every single day is a good day when you're around the Cobra, for sure. Well, it's not a good day if you're a Minnesota Twins fan. I mean, I tell you what, they are off to about as up and down of a season start as you could ask for. I mean, slow start. Wow, are they playing well. Man, they can't get anything right. It's just up and down and down and up. It's just been really, really rough. I think it's now they've lost, what, 10 of their last 11 games? And they're not just losing. They're losing big. They lost 16-4. They lost 16-3 against Texas. They lost two out of those three games. They got shellacked last night against Seattle. They got shut out once against the Milwaukee Brewers, and then they just can't quite get it. When their pitching is good, they've got no hitting. When they've got good hitting, the pitching is struggling. And it's just a tough go right now for the Twins.
Did you see this morning as well?
Yes, I did.
Twins are exercising Rocco's 2026 option.
Yeah, we're going to get to the jump here in a second. That's part of it. Kind of interesting.
I don't get that at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the peaks and valleys are very vast with this team right now. So, yeah, let's go ahead and jump right into it, as a matter of fact. He's the Cobra. Let's get to here this year jump on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and that's just it. You're hitting the nail right on the head. Not only are the Twins committing to manager Rocco Baldelli for this season, they're also exercising his 2026 option for next year. That's according to Dan Hayes of The Athletic. Now, far be it from me to call for someone's job and call for him to be fired. But this is also the pros. And when the season began, I was kind of thinking to myself, I'm a little bit surprised that he was back because of the late season collapse they had last year. And when he was brought back as the manager, I thought to myself, it's curious. I wonder if he's going to be on a short leash. And apparently not. And it came through the wire there last night. The look on your face says it all.
Well, I thought they were going to let him go early in the season when they were getting off to that 7-13 start, and then they won 13 in a row. That kind of saved his job, really, when they went on that win streak, got over 500. They were sitting in second place. And now you're 1-10 in your last 11 games and getting beat up. 11-2 was the latest there yesterday. And I see this morning and I'm just shaking my head. We're going to exercise the guy's option next year when we don't know where we're headed in June this year. I mean, this could be really bad moving forward for the Twins. They haven't shown me anything that they're going to turn this around. I was surprised seeing this here this morning. Really am.
No doubt about it. Yeah, here's some of the losses over this stretch of games. 16-3, 10-3, 16-4, 17-6, 9-0, 11-2 last night. Now, there's been a couple of one-run losses in there, too. 3-2, 2-1, 6-5. But this is just a stretch of bad, bad baseball right now for the Twins. And granted, they're not exactly playing the easiest team. They're not playing the White Sox in the stretch, but you know what? If you want to become a playoff team, you're going to have to beat some of these teams eventually in some way, shape, or means. Now, granted, again, Houston and Cincinnati are some interleague series, but you know, Texas, Houston, those are teams that you're probably going to have to get through in some way, shape, or means. Toronto, and just not playing very, very well. And Matt, this came on my feed this morning. I had to share it. This was last night as Audra Martin was the she's the sideline reporter there for, can you even call it a sideline for baseball?
Dugout reporter.
Dugout reporter, I don't even know. But the third member of that broadcast team, shall we say. And this was from last night. This is from the bottom of the second inning, Twins and Mariners. It's still very early in the game. It's 0-0. Here's Audra Martin on the dugout report, if you will.
Starts here on a beautiful night at Target Field. After another tough series, I asked some of the Twins players what was lacking right now or maybe holding this team back from playing winning baseball right now. And Ty France said one thing that he has noticed is that they need to take a little bit more pride in themselves if they get behind early in a game. It can't be, oh, here we go again. No, it needs to be, all right, let's go to work. Let's get after it like we have done so many times and like we know that we can. Carlos Correa said that they can do a better job with preparation in terms of being more specific and really targeting the things that they aren't doing well. Carlos also told me that he had a conversation with the front office and the coaches about some of those things that they need to work on. So, guys, there's that leadership from Carlos Correa taking it upon himself to speak up.
Audra, thanks. And a lot to chew on there.
A lot to chew on there for sure. And the thing that strikes my entertainment, that puts my eyebrow up, is preparation. Anytime you've got a player coming out and saying, hey, we're not prepared or we need to prepare better, that's a direct indictment of the manager, is it not?
I was just going to say that. That hearing that, it's an indictment on the manager. That's what I was just about to say, Tukes. Hearing those comments, Ty France, Carlos Correa, it sounds to me that this a little bit is on the manager, maybe losing the clubhouse a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Can't believe it.
Yeah, and for them to come out and say, you know what, we're exercising that option. Again, I'm not calling for him to be fired, far be it from me, some radio schlub in Aberdeen, but that just was interesting to me.
Sometimes you need a new voice. You really do. We said it at the beginning of the season, and listen, if they don't get this thing turned around, I don't see that happening. I really don't.
Pretty wild. Also of note, we were talking about him yesterday, Tommy Fleetwood. I sent you this message, and you said, wow, I can't believe it. I, too. Wow, I couldn't believe it. Tommy Fleetwood, 42nd top 10 finish on the PGA Tour, most by any player without a win in the last 40 years.
That's what makes that one this weekend hurt even more, because he hasn't won on tour yet, and it's kind of hard to believe when you talk about the best swings on tour. Tommy Fleetwood's name is always in discussion, and it's amazing to me that he has not won on tour, and that's kind of the reason I was rooting for him a little bit this weekend. We saw the putt. We talked about it yesterday. Just unable to close the door. I am a Keegan Bradley fan, so I was happy he won.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's been tough for Tommy Fleetwood, and he'll get one sooner rather than later. He's playing pretty good golf.
He is, and that's just it. You're in first place for 71 holes. It's not as if he had a terrible, terrible showing. Had a really bad 18, and sometimes that's what separates winners and losers, unfortunately. But yeah, he'll get his at some point in time for sure. Speaking of getting his, SGA, of course, he is the NBA MVP. Also NBA Finals MVP there as well. And this came up on my news feed, and it's so true. It says, making the Finals MVP hop on a 6 a.m. interview the morning after winning a ring. is diabolical. That's a really, really funny tweet there from the folks at Barstool. And it's so true. I mean, this guy's probably been slugging Busch Lights or Coors Lights or maybe having some tequila or something like that all night long, getting fired up. And you're making him hop on a video call at 6 o'clock in the morning? What are we doing?
He looked like he was half asleep on that, by the way. Oh. He did not look very interested. He did a good job. I listened to a little bit of it, but his facial expressions were like, hey, I've gotten like an hour and a half of sleep. Why am I here right now?
Yeah.
Can I enjoy my championship and NBA Finals MVP, please, and not have to talk to people for a day?
Like, what's he going to say, too? You know, a 6 a.m. Like, what's he supposed to say? So, how does it feel winning the championship? Now, granted, I asked the dumb broadcasting cliched question. There's a reason why I prefaced that question by saying, here I am asking the dumb broadcasting cliched question. But it's just like, how does it feel being NBA champion and the MVP at 6 a.m.? Dude's probably still got a BAC above the legal limit. What do you mean, how does it feel? Feels kind of loopy right now. Ask me in a couple hours.
Ask me when I got a couple hours of sleep. Jeez.
Sheesh. Unbelievable.
Ask me when I sober up a little bit,
yeah,
right?
Ask me when I'm a below the legal limit. Also of note, speaking of partying after the championship was crowned, Jalen Williams, he was drinking a Michelob Ultra in the locker room afterwards, and he kind of was like, ugh, where's the tequila? You know, far be it from me to knock free beer, but you know, you win a championship. You know, Michelob Ultra is probably not my first choice, but it's free beer. Quit complaining.
Yeah, quit complaining. I'm with you on that. Actually, the celebration from the Thunder.
Very subdued.
Very, like, they were not going crazy like you've seen in past. And from what I've heard, from hearing people talk after the game, not a lot of big drinkers in that locker room as well. Hmm. Like Jalen Williams said that was the first beer he's ever had in his life.
Oh, my gosh.
It was like, wow.
I don't know if it's good for him or bad for him or probably a little bit of both. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
But, I mean, think about that. Think about a guy like Alex Ovechkin.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy, his blood is vodka. It's probably Stoli vodka. I mean, that, you know, big Russian guy loves his shine. When they won the whole thing, I mean, that guy, I don't think he was sober for like 90 straight days.
I mean, you look at the side-by-sides, you've seen it.
Yeah.
Of just the NHL Stanley Cup final. The final seconds there in the NBA, it was a little bit different from what I saw.
A little? I mean, it's real different. I mean, you've got guys throwing their gloves, jumping on each other, big hugs, this and that. And the NBA was just like, all right, we just won game 7. I'm right there with you. I couldn't believe it. Like, where's the jubilation? Where's the excitement?
I didn't see it. I couldn't believe it. I'm watching that live Sunday night. I couldn't believe it. Game 7. I understand the circumstances, Haliburton, but that's not on your team.
Yeah.
I mean, let's see. They just, like, dapped up the other team, and that was it. I mean, it wasn't like, hey, we're super excited or anything like that. Where's, like, the untucking of the jerseys and things of that, like the LeBron when they won it in 11 or 12 or whatever? I just didn't see – it didn't make much sense to me. That's what I've been talking about this entire time. Maybe if they had stuff that said NBA Finals on the court, we'd know that this is a finals game.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I know. We saw better and more explosive celebration for the Minnesota Timberwolves in that game. Remember when Pat Bev took his jersey off and threw it in the crowd and the crowd's going bananas? Like, how great was this? No, this is game 7 of the NBA Finals. And again, to your point, you've got nothing to watch back in 5-10 years from now and saying, oh, this isn't the NBA Finals. This is like the peak of some of these guys' maybe career. Who knows if they'll ever get back. Now, we do this all the time. Is this going to be the next great dynasty? We've literally had 7 straight years of different champions. So we'll see. But this may be the last time some of these guys win a championship. So get excited.
Show a little bit of joy. Jeez. I didn't get that at all. I didn't get it. And you look at that compared to what the Florida Panthers did. It's
yeah.
a little bit different from what we saw with celebrations. But hey, to your point, real quick, on the basketball side of things, This Thunder team could get back if this is one of those teams
very young
that are very young. They're here to win now, are ready to win now, and they're built to win in the future too. If you can believe that,
I
got so many draft picks still.
They do. They are a very, very young team. They're incredibly skilled, but you hate to say it, but you're just one blown ACL away or one blown Achilles away from having a really hard time getting back. So, I mean, that's exactly it for Indiana. I mean, Halliburton's going to be out all next year. So, enjoy it a little bit more than they did. But, yeah, I think you're on to something. I think, in theory, on paper, they should be back next year. But that's why the games are played. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, and I just thought it was weird watching it on Sunday. I'm like, am I watching the game in January? You see guys get more excited for a dunk than what I saw after Game 7 victory.
It was very strange. Very, very strange. Coming up next on the show, we're going to talk a little football. That's right. We are going to be joined live in studio. Clayton Randall, the new head coach of the Northwestern Wildcats football squad. He'll join us live in studio after this. Today installment of the show on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Follow us on the X at Fox Sports 1420 AM at @_Cobra66. At David Tewksbury, and our next guest joining us live in studio, you can follow him there as well, at Coach Randall 85, new head coach of the Northwestern Wildcats football squad down there in Millett. Coach, good to see you, sir.
Good to see you guys.
How are things?
Things are great. Yep.
You look good. Nice tan.
Yeah, I got a little sun in Mexico.
Yeah.
Cabo, Mexico for about a week with my wife's family.
Okay.
Great time.
You know, some people, they really don't like their in-laws. I get a sense that you like your in-laws.
I do. I married into a good family, and I think I probably married up.
There you go.
On two fronts, on the wife side and the family side. So I think that's got to be the goal, is always
outkick your coverage.
Date up, marry up, all that.
Yeah, that's what I did. 100%.
Good work.
Is that the first time you were out of the States?
That's our advice for you. Date up and marry up.
Okay.
Not the first time out of the States. My wife is definitely a fan of traveling, and so we've been fortunate enough to take a few trips.
Very cool.
She's a fan of warm weather.
Yes.
And sunshine.
I'll tell you what. I mean, we've had some warm weather here. I mean, we were hitting in the 90s here this last weekend. I don't love it.
We were in Mexico, and you would think, okay, hot, right? 75 was the temps.
Kidding me.
So it was about perfect. Could have been a little warmer, I think, for our liking, because we were right by the pool.
Sure.
But 75 degrees, I'll take that all day.
No doubt about
Every day.
No, I mean, I'm right there with you, especially if you're by a pool. By the way, for those of you that are watching the web stream, your daughter is also in the house as well. Should we turn on her mic or keep it muted? What do you think?
You want a hot mic, Ram?
Yeah.
All right,
boy.
She wants it on. Want to say hello?
Hello.
There you go. And we're good. All right, that's good stuff. No, but daughter's in the house. This is the first time we've had a father and daughter kind of on the air live interview, I think, right? This is the first time.
Yeah.
There we go.
How does that feel? Do you feel good about that?
That's good. Me and Remy we teamed up for some baseball this morning.
Okay.
9 o'clock game, and then she's on my team today, so you got us both.
Very cool.
My cousin threw open my mom's car and she just cleaned it.
Wait, say that again. I had your mic down.
My baby cousin threw up in my mom's car.
That's not good.
That's
and
not.
It was clean.
It's clean now. That's good.
I mean, we're going to be live and on location at Tommy's this weekend from noon to. No, wait. Is it
no,
9
it's
to
9
11?
To 11.
9 to 11. Noon to 2 is CMN. So, yeah. All right, good detailed job over there. Maybe, perhaps. See, it all comes back to radio.
Nice little segue there.
How about that?
Tommy's.
Wow, Tommy's. Big shout out to those folks over there. All right, so for the risk of, you know, talking about throwing up and, you know, upchucking, let's just mute that mic here for the rest of the time here. Remy, thanks for popping in. You can stay here, certainly, but we're here to talk a little football for sure. How did this whole thing kind of come to be? New head football coach down there in Millett.
Yeah, very interesting. Was not on my radar, and then life kind of throws you some curveballs and some opportunities, and this is one that my family and I, we chose to take. I guess I want to start by thanking Coach Billy Young at Roncalli and the Roncalli administration, because they gave me an opportunity to get back into coaching. And at that time, that was going to be a great fit for me. I was going to work at Northern, and I was going to get to coach football, and I was happy. Fast forward a month or two, early May, and my wife, who is currently the elementary principal at Northwestern, she came home with a new opportunity and said, hey, there's going to be an opportunity at Northwestern to teach and to coach, and if you're interested, here's what you need to do. And so for those who don't know, my wife is elementary principal at Northwestern. We got two young kids. We got a 8-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son, so a third grader and a kindergartner. And this opportunity down there was a chance to put all of us in the same building and on the same schedule, and that was the reason right there. And so, not that I didn't like my job at Northern and wasn't excited about coaching at Roncalli, just this opportunity was a perfect fit for my family right now. And so, with that being said, I'll be teaching PE at Northwestern, K-5 PE, ninth grade health and PE, and 10th through 12th weightlifting. And then I'll be they call it I Succeed, which is an online school for 7th through 12th grade students all across the state of South Dakota. Approximate enrollment of 100 students. So I'll be the admin or the mentor for that program, and then I get to be the head football coach. So all things I'm excited about.
We said at the start of the show, we knew you couldn't stay away from coaching. So, you know, obviously, was it just – that it was the head coaching position? Did that have something to do with you saying, hey, I'd like to be a part of something like that? And the head coach, obviously you were going to coach, what, offensive line, D-line there at Roncalli?
Correct. Honestly, right away it was just let me coach anything. And last year working at Northern, I enjoyed working in the sports, you know, the athletic department, but there was no coaching. And so I scratched that itch last year by coaching Remy's second grade girls basketball team, and just enjoyed it. Just like you said, I just can't stay away from it. It's one of those things where if it's in your blood, it's in your blood. And so I was excited to coach at Roncalli. I don't have to be the head coach to enjoy it. I think I would have really enjoyed working under Coach Billy Young. I got to work under somebody who's organized and has some similar ideals to coaching that I do. And in speaking with Coach Young, I felt him and I were like aligned, fully aligned on the same page. So I don't have to be the head coach. However, the opportunity to be the head coach at Northwestern and now try to build something down there, very intriguing.
No doubt about it. And we're going to talk about that building process, but to the important stuff, how many technicals when you're coaching there on the second grade side of basketball?
I got zero.
Good.
Yep, and that was good. yes. I don't know. I didn't see any of the opposing coaches get teed up, but I think if you go to enough sporting events, one thing you're going to see is there's a lot of opportunities to learn what you don't want to do, you know, examples of what not to be like. And so that's at every level. I'm going to try to be aware of those things and err on the side of, you know, being a good example.
So no Bobby Knight chair
throws?
No
chairs were tossed. No water bottles were tossed. I think we had a good year. All the kids that started, I think we had eight girls. All the kids that started they finished the season, so that's a big thing for me.
Yep.
Very limited number of tiers, two that I can remember. And so, I mean, we're playing for 9 weeks, and we only had two. I feel like that's a pretty good season.
Good ratio.
Yes, good ratio. And so it was a fun year. I actually enjoyed coaching second-grade girls basketball much more than I thought I might.
Sure.
Yeah. That's when I knew I was addicted to it, to coaching.
Well, this might be a dumb question, but, you know, being a head coach at a new program here, where do you start, right? I mean, obviously it's the summer. You're not at school. So where do you start there?
That's where my mind's been wandering. You know, ever since I decided, yep, we're going to do this. Okay, where do you start? And I got to go back to my last couple jobs. And I'm fortunate right now to have worked in some different schools. I worked under a really good head coach who's now at Falkton, Shane Gaditz. That was my first ever coaching experience. We're over in Dolan Condi in the mid-2000s. And so I step into an opportunity there, and I am working under a guy who's a really good coach, and he's proven that for two decades. And so I got to see how that was done. And then I go to work at Harriet Selby, and originally I'm working under Jeff Costers, and Jeff's won a lot of football games at multiple locations, Hamlin, Selby, Harriet Selby, and now Leola Frederick. And so got to see another way of how to do things. And then when I took over at Harriet Selby, worked with a bunch of good coaches, and that was my first opportunity to lead and be the head coach. And we found a thing, you know, a system that worked for us. And so now moving into Northwestern, it's like, what can I take from all three of those experiences that fit at Northwestern to try to, again, build something down there that matters? And you start at the bottom. Like, what are the things you have to do well so that eventually you can be successful? And for us right now, what we're doing is Coach Anthony Redman, basketball coach down there. He's got the kids in the gym. They're shooting hoops and they're lifting 3 days a week. So, okay, let's take that and let's try to build on that. Let's try to get the wrestlers and the football players in and get them lifting. So we're starting there, starting in the weight room. We've had a couple open fields, you know, so basketball open gym, football open field. You get together and you work on football skills. And we've had two of those and we've had good numbers. We had eight the first week. And we had 14 last night, so we're trending the right direction. I see some kids down there that look excited to get coached. And you know, I grew up in Warner in the late 90s, and there's been a lot of successful teams, girls, boys, et cetera, down in Northwestern. So I think it's a program that's hungry to try to build something that matters. And they've been good in the past. I think they can be good again.
Clayton Randall joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and I take it you've got time for another segment.
Let's do it.
All right. And I got to ask before that, what are some of your non-negotiables as a head coach? You know, when you're bringing in players, obviously you want them to enjoy the program. They want to have fun, but you also want to win some games. You want to coach them. They want to be coached. What are some of your non-negotiables as a head coach of a new football team? Not a new team, but your start down there.
Correct. Yeah, three. There's three. The big three is where we're starting. One, be coachable, and I've been working with the kids to explain what that means. I mean, be coachable. We can go into depth on that in the next section if you want to. Number two, we're going to do everything. We're going to finish everything we start. So we start something, we finish it. And so in football, that means we start a drill, we finish a drill. In football, every play's got a beginning and an end. Snap the whistle. We're going to finish every play. So be coachable, start, finish everything we start, and number three, compete. Just going to learn how to compete in everything that we do. And once we start doing those three things consistently, we'll start to see some better results.
All right. More with Clayton Randall after a quick timeout right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, live streaming with the video as well on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page. Remy, go ahead and wave the camera over there. That's head coach Clayton Randall's youngest daughter. Good stuff. It's a daddy-daughter day. You gotta love these days. I was pushing my daughter in our swing in the backyard yesterday for like an hour. Got my arms worked out.
Are you finding that they got as much or more energy as you do?
They've got a lot more than I do.
It doesn't get a lot better.
Yeah, that's what I've been told. All right, I gotta ask this question because we talked about it last year, and I'm not trying to be poignant. I'm not trying to get a soundbite. You know me. Why?
Sure.
Why? Yeah. Why has Northwestern not thought about a co-op with some team? You know, we were talking about this last year with Langford. You know, Langford, they co-opted with Groton. Why not Northwestern co-op with a Faulkton or Redfield or Warner or something like that? Down in Millett, it's a small community. I know you guys have a lot of pride down there in that community, and rightfully so. Is that the reason why no co-op, or is that something that has to deal with school districts and stuff? I'm a novice on these sorts of things, so do you have any insight to that sort of thing or not so much?
Great question. I'll give you my opinion, and certainly I'm not speaking on behalf of Northwestern. Sure. I'm a new guy there, but just from a guy being from small towns, the pride in, you know, you want to keep things in your own town, in your own school. Facts, I know there's enough kids there. There's 275 expected enrollment K through 12, average class size of 22 and a half kids. All right, that's 88 kids in high school, and that's 44 boys if all the numbers are equal. There's enough kids there to field a competitive football team. As to why they're not, I don't know that yet, but I know they're competitive in a lot of other sports. So in the last 7, that's why I said I think we can win there. It's going to take some time. We got to get kids out and get kids excited about football. Firsthand, when I was the coach at Harriet Selby area, we played Northwestern for a couple seasons, and it was new to us, but not new to them, is they play junior high before they play high school. Okay. So at 4:30 or 5 p.m., you kick off the junior high, and then you roll right into the 7 o'clock varsity game. When we played them, they had 20 kids in junior high playing football.
Wow.
So 3 grades, 20 kids. Then unfortunately, they had less than 20 kids suited up for varsity. So there's kids there. We just got to get them excited about football, and we talked in between segments about coaching. I think the best way to get kids excited about football is you got to get them out and you got to get them coached. Like every kid that shows up to practice has to get coached so they can get better. When they get better, they experience a little success, and when they have success, they want to play. And so main focus for me, I got to meet the kids at Northwestern last day of school, May 19th. I got to go down and meet the kids, and I told them two things that I'm going to work hard on. One is getting every kid out for football in the Northwestern school that should be in football. We want everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, regardless of your age, regardless of your height, your weight, we want every kid being part of the football program. Because I truly believe that being part of the football program is going to help them be a better person later. And secondly, I'm going to work hard to get coaches. And so we got three full-time coaches on our staff, and we've been fortunate to add an additional four guys that are going to help us in some capacity, whether it be every day at practice or a couple times a week. And so my goal is to get as many kids out as possible and, like I said, get them coached every day.
Can you kind of expand on you telling the kids, and you've mentioned it a couple times, being coachable. I know you said you wanted to maybe expand on that here in this segment. Can you just, what are you looking for with that?
Yeah, I mean, being coachable is, to me, that's everything. Because if you're coachable, you're going to be able to listen to instruction. Sometimes that instruction is going to be critical, criticism. But don't confuse criticism with coaching. It's all in an effort to get you better. And what I found is if you're coachable as a male, young male, you're able to be in a relationship because you're able to hear criticism from your significant other. And if you're able to be in a relationship, you're able to be employable because you're going to be able to hear what you need to do better. And, you know, being coachable it's way beyond just being coachable. It's, you know, you're going to be able to be in a relationship. You're going to be able to hold a job. You're going to be a good husband, be a good father. And so our kids being coachable means, like, we're going to teach these kids to listen with their eyes and their ears. When someone's talking to you, you're going to listen. And we're going to put good people in front of these kids, people that have their best interest in mind. And so with that being said, it's teachers, coaches, everybody. And I mean, I do think that they got a great staff down there. They got a great school culture. They got people in place to help kids. And so if we're coachable, teachable, okay, these people are trying to help you. And if you do what they say and you do it to the best of your ability, and you finish what they're asking you to do, you're going to see success. And so just being coachable is such a big thing for everybody. I mean, I'm 45 years old, and I need to be coached. I got a boss at home, and it's in my best interest. And she really has my best interest in mind. And I find it's kind of weird, but when I do what she is asking me to do, it usually leads to pretty good results.
And that's exactly what we're all looking for. No two ways about it. Clayton Randall here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. And I think Matt and I would both echo the sentiment that we have become bigger track and field fans over the last couple of years. You know, when you're a high school kid, college kid, just speaking from my experience, I didn't really think about track and field too much. But now that I've got into radio, you see success for somebody that might be, they start the season in 20th place and the season ends, they're in 11th place in their respective thing. What does success look like for you as the new head football coach at Northwestern?
Yeah, great question. And I love track and field because of that. It's tangible. Like, yeah, every kid can be coached. And if you throw the shot put 50 feet, well, we got to get you to 51. And if I throw it 30, I got to get to 31. It's a little different in football. And, you know, what is success? And it's interesting how many people I talk to, you know, and I love talking football. We can talk Northern football all day. We're talking Northwestern football. And most people go to, like, what's the goal? Like, how many wins? Well, I hate to give you coach speak, but it's never about wins. Like, the wins are the result of the process. And so the process is I'm going to give the kids clear, measurable things that we're going to do. We're going to show up every day. We're going to show up on time. I'm going to teach them about what it looks like to warm up. Okay, there's a certain way you do it. And the way you do it's going to determine the success you have. And there's a way to go through drills. There's a way to be coachable. And I think what I've noticed with the kids in the two open fields that I've been able to interact with them is they want to be coached, and they're willing to do what I've asked them to do thus far, which leaves me really optimistic about what we can do. And so you're never going to get me on the radio and ask me about success, and I'm going to give you a win total. My goal as a coach is always to coach a team that does win the last game. Because winning the last game means, you guys were talking NBA hoops, right?
Mm.
Yeah, winning the last game means you're a champion. And I want to coach kids to be champions. And you can be a champion and not win the last game. But in order to do that, you always have to do things at a level that a champion will do them if you're ever going to be a champion. And so we're going to try to do things at a really high level. Not going to try. We are going to do things at a high level. And eventually, when we do that consistently enough, we'll start being successful.
So it kind of sounds like, especially early on with like practice, the term practice like you play is going to be very big for your program, right?
Correct. Yeah, we're gonna do things the way champions do them. I told the kids last night I've never coached a team that's won the last game, but I've seen what those teams look like, and I feel like we had teams that look like that. And there's just a certain way that those teams do things. You look locally in our state. If you ever get the opportunity to go watch SDSU football practice, they move different than a lot of other teams. The coaches, the players, everybody, the managers, the student coaches, everybody is moving. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do. There's no wasted time. It's just very detailed. It's very sharp. When you watch it, you know you're watching something pretty special. And I think these kids are capable of doing a lot more than they've done, and I'm excited to work with them, you know, teach them what that looks like.
Clayton Randall in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Maybe one or two more here before we get you out of here, before you spend the rest of the day with your daughter here. Good stuff there. Second game of the season is against a pretty familiar team. You're taking on Harriet Selby on the 29th of August. What's that going to be like? I mean, you're bringing in a bunch of guys that you know and you're probably still very close friends with, talking about their coaching staff, probably even some players you know quite well too. What's that going to be like when you host them down in Millett? Can you even imagine what that's going to be like for you as a head coach?
I mean, it's going to be great because we're all playing football. I love those guys, you know, the coaches and the players there. Like, I'm very fortunate to have been part of that football program. I talked to their head coach yesterday via text, just last night. They're working right now. They're in Dickinson at a camp, and they're doing everything that they can to have a great season. And I think it's a good opportunity for us, us being Northwestern, to play them, because that's a program that's had a lot of success, and we're going to have to model ourselves around the way they do things. I'm going to have to make sure that I don't cheer if somebody in the black and purple, you know, busts off a good play. But I wish them nothing but success. And, you know, they can have success, and so can we. And for us right now, we're going to be playing nameless, faceless opponents. And honestly, that's what we did when in Harriet Selby, is we don't gauge our success on the opponent. We gauge our success based on what we're capable of, what level we're capable of, and what level we're performing at. And then that's no matter where I'm coaching at, that's going to be the standard, is here's what we're capable of, here's what we're doing. That's going to determine the success. So I guess maybe I finally answered your question on successes.
That works.
We're going to determine our success based on what we're capable of. And I'm looking forward to that game. I'm looking forward to every game. Great part about our schedule is we've got very good opponents, you know, 1 through 8. You look at our schedule, and there's teams that, I think there's 4 teams that played in the semis last year, and maybe 2 or 3 in the state championship, and at least 1 champion on there. So we're going to have a high level of competition every Friday night.
Yeah, and I was looking at the roster from last year, Clayton. It looks like they had 4 or 5 seniors graduate, but it looks to me like there is a lot of youth in the program that you touched base on. Obviously, the numbers at those open fields have gotten better and things of that. So you got to expect the numbers to be pretty decent, you know, by the start of football season. Would you agree with that?
Correct. When I met the kids, we had 22 9th through 12th graders. Next year's 9th through 12th that are interested in playing football. Now, saying you're interested in showing up in August, okay, that remains to be determined, but I'm optimistic that we're going to have over 20 kids out for football, and in class 9B, 20 kids is that's a good roster. We can work with that. We can field a team every Friday, be competitive, and start to build a program. Our current roster looks like it's going to have 3 seniors, so we can build this year and have a majority of that coming back next year, and hopefully start to get things moving in the right direction.
All right. Look, we're doing a countdown to kickoff with Northern State football. All right, we're going to have to start counting down to August the 22nd there against Sully Buttes, defending state champs.
That's right.
That's a nice way to be baptized to start up a new coaching season, is going up against the state champs. I'm looking forward to every single game on your roster, on your schedule. I'm not just saying that. I mean, you know me. We're going to be following you guys every single game, whether we're there or not there, or just in some capacity. We'll be following it for sure. So we appreciate you doing this and popping in studio. We're wishing you nothing but the best of luck. Good luck down there at Millett. And thanks again for doing this, and Godspeed to you.
Hey, appreciate you guys. We're not far away from football. It's, in my opinion, it's the best time of the year.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What is the official countdown to kickoff for Northern?
74 days.
Do we have a name and a number for that yet?
Yeah, we got Matt Ouellette, yeah.
Matt Ouellette days to kickoff.
Yeah, then tomorrow's going to be Daniel Porsche.
Big Dan.
Yeah, no doubt. Mr. Backflip.
I did not know that. He is sneaky athletic. He's kind of like a cobra.
Yeah. Or no, I'm sorry. He does more cartwheels. Is it backflips or cartwheels? I think it's cartwheels. But yeah, I mean, we can get Cobra doing some backflips and cartwheels in here. Might break some stuff, but you know.
Might break my shoulder.
We can't have that.
Yeah.
Being golf season.
No, yeah. I'm in prime golf season right now.
We don't need injured reserve in the middle of June here with Cobra. But no doubt about it. All right, Coach, we'll talk to you later on down the
road.
Thank
you, guys.
Absolutely. Clayton Randall joining us here in studio alongside his daughter, Remy, there as well. We'll come on back and wrap up the Hub after this. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Our thanks to head coach Clayton Randall and his daughter, Remy, for joining us here live in studio. I think it's the first time we've ever had a father-daughter visit.
Since I've been on.
Yeah, I think it is as well for yours truly. So pretty cool stuff there. And by the way, I don't know if this is a little PSA or not for the folks down south there in Millett in the northwestern area. If your son is thinking about it, go for it. You know, just as an aside, and I'm not breaking any news, when he's talking to us, I'm looking right at him. He's making me believe that they can be something. You know, success for them this next year, it's not going 6-2. I mean, that's great. It's not going 8-0. Did he ever mention, hey, we want to win X amount of games? It's all about the process. You got to practice the right way. You got to work out the right way. I believe, you know, if I'm a young high school kid, I'd say, all right, that's someone I'd want to play for.
No doubt about it. And it's going to start, like you said, from the bottom up, right? I mean, it's just you got to get the kids out ready to play, one. B, practice like you play. You know, everybody wants to play in the games, and that's great, but there's a process that's necessary that needs to be taken to be able to play at the level that you want. And that's a guy that's been through, you know, he mentioned where his stops were before and learning from guys like Shane Gaditz, for example, there in Faulkton. I mean, those are moments that he remembers, obviously, and some of the things that he learned there is some of the things he's going to have to transfer here at Northwestern. I mean, there's going to have to be small wins throughout the year that isn't wins and losses that this team's going to have to take. There's no doubt about it. And you mentioned a good point. You know, going 6-2, going 2-6, that's great. But there's that process that needs to be done to get to that point where he could be coming on the air 5 years or 3 years, whatever it is down the line, saying, hey, our goal is to be 6-2, but mm-hmm. It's going to take time first. And like you said, and you make a great point, you know, if you're kind of 50-50 on it, like, hey, I don't want to play football, I'm thinking about it, go out. I mean, go out and try. I mean, you got a guy like Coach Randall here. The guy's, you know, a great football coach, and I think he's going to be a guy that you're going to want to play for.
And I think to a certain degree, the word unflappable comes to my mind because they're going to get punched in the mouth this season. There's going to be a lot of times where they're out there on a Friday night and they're down 30-0 after the first quarter. I know they don't want to. That's reality. That's football. At some point in time, regardless of how good or bad you are as a head football coach, at some point in time in your coaching life, there's probably going to be a game where that's the case. And you need to look to your leader and say, I need him to be the same guy when you're up 30-0 and when you're down 30-0. And he strikes me as a guy that's going to be that kind of guy.
Yeah, and he's up for the challenge, and that's what I think is so cool about it, an opportunity. And, hey, I mean, if you build something special, that would be pretty cool there at Northwestern. And it all starts this season. Like you said, they got a pretty tough schedule just looking at it. A lot of teams that are pretty good in Class 9B, but you got to start, and let's see how they roll. We're going to be following them all season long.
No doubt. And, by the way, to your point, he's going to be taking on head coach Shane Gaudette's final game of the season there in mid-October. Big shout-out goes to Claire Crawford of Aberdeen Roncalli High School there. She finished in first place in the girls 16-18s there yesterday at Moccasin Creek at the SDGA Junior Tour. Check out HubCityRadio.com for full and complete details.